Welcome to Carsey and the Kid. With your hosts, Steve Carsey and Alexander Danilov.
And good morning, all. We are back on the Steve Carsey and the Kid show after a brief hiatus, only because of scheduling conflicts and work and everything else in this crazy world we live in, but that is life. Steve's schedule is amazingly packed out. My schedule gets weird sometimes, but this is, again, this is what we love to do. We always come back to the show because we enjoy it so much. And we had the Home Run Derby. We had the All-Star Game, obviously. We have the trade deadline looming, and we have contenders, pretenders. We have teams that could be selling that you don't even expect to be selling, and teams that could be buying that you wouldn't expect to be buying. So we'll talk about that. But for now, Steve, welcome back to the show, and the same for me.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it's nice to be doing it again. Like you said, things kind of get out of whack sometimes, and you know, but we always come back, and we're always ready to go, and it's a beautiful Sunday morning, and, you know, it's time to talk some baseball.
Absolutely. So we had a big baseball weekend outside of just the regular baseball stuff, the on-the-field stuff, the Hall of Fame. Steve, any words you want to say on that?
Yeah, you know, it's just a great day for baseball. You know, with the inductees today, Mike Piazza and Ken Griffey Jr., two solid individuals, two guys who have put together tremendous careers and deserve to be in the Hall of Fame. Obviously, you look at two ends of the spectrum, you know, Ken Griffey Jr. being the number one pick overall and with the Seattle Mariners, and then you have Mike Piazza, who was a favorite of Tommy Lasorda, drafted in the 62nd round when they had 62 rounds of the draft a long time ago, and made the best of his opportunity. And, you know, that's just the great thing about baseball. You know, they come in all shapes. They come in all sizes. They come in all different types of players. And, you know, Mike Piazza made the best of his opportunity, a 62nd rounder going into the Hall of Fame today. And that's just a tremendous honor for him.
Yeah, it goes to show you a couple things. One, the experts don't know jack in a lot of cases. And B, Mike Piazza almost, in some ways, Tom Brady, seen not as many championships, not as many glory days, but becoming, he's kind of like the Tom Brady of baseball, where he's a late round pick, everyone gave up on him. He only got a shot because something had to have happened. In Tom Brady's case is Drew Bledsoe, and yeah, Piazza's case, Tommy Lasorda, obviously gave him that boost up, and then he took it from there, obviously, and so did Brady. Mike Piazza becoming one of the most prolific hitting catcher of all time. Did a lot of great things. Had one of the biggest home runs ever after 9/11. Not to bring that back to you, Steve, because obviously you served that up. But he had some huge moments in baseball and a lot of great moments off the field as well. A good ambassador off the field. Ken Griffey Jr., obviously one of the greatest of all time. Probably the greatest I've seen, along with Barry Bonds of that era. Just all around pure talents. He's not tainted, as far as we know. Nothing's ever come up. No stories, no inclinations, nothing like that. So two of the greatest talents in baseball, rightfully going where they belong, which is immortalized in Cooperstown. Which, by the way, they're expecting, Steve, north of 40,000 people, which is going to expect this. Very popular guys, especially Piazza, his days with the Mets. The population of Cooperstown, less than 19,000 as of the 2013 numbers. In case anybody's wondering, there's another Cooperstown. It's in Tennessee. The population there is 4,300, a little north of that as of 2013. So, little town, not a lot of place to be, to stay. I actually was looking to go there this weekend. I was looking about 6-7 months ago. Steve, and a hotel room could not be bought for under $300-$400 a night. So a great weekend for the community there, economically as well. But Hall of Fame weekend is great no matter which sport it is. It's always good to reflect on the careers of people that were able to get to a point that few ever get to.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it just shows the dedication, shows the hard work, shows the talent. And shows the longevity of somebody's career to go into the Hall of Fame. To go into the Hall of Fame, not only do you have to be good, but you have to be healthy. And being healthy is the key. And both of those guys did it for a very long time until the end of their careers.
Absolutely. So we have that going on. The Home Run Derby was absolutely electric. We had a great time watching that. I was watching that along with a couple other things. So I had two iPads on, I had my TV on, and I was actually, I had Pokemon Go on my phone. So it was a great night if you're a guy. Great night if you're just trying to kick back. The baseball weekend and Home Run Derby, All-Star Game, always, again, makes you feel like a kid because you see all these stars together on the field, all having fun, all being genuine. The competition is there because it's, the game matters, but it's not the same level, obviously, as a playoff game. And you get to see a lot of these guys let loose. So, Steve, what was your take on the Home Run Derby and the All-Star Game? Because it looks like baseball's future just it's so bright, even with a lot of stars that are starting to fade off and not get as much publicity, like Miguel Cabrera, obviously Albert Pujols, guys like that. And then you have other people stepping into that spotlight and becoming true studs.
Yeah, both of them were great. I only caught bits and pieces of both of them. I was at home spending time with my family during the All-Star break. But, for me, it was time to kind of, step back and take a quick break from it, because I know that the second half of the season of our season in Columbus here is taking place. So it was good. You know, like you said, you see new faces step into the spotlight. Stanton with what he did. Trumbo
yep.
with what he did, it was really good. And then, obviously the All-Star game, was nice because, the American League has another opportunity to be home field, have home field advantage, in the World Series. And that's a big thing for anybody trying to get to the playoffs and have an opportunity to win it.
Yeah. It's amazing that the NL can't get out in front, and this was not a high-scoring affair. Game actually, in some respects, was boring. To the casual fan, it was boring. But that's just, in a lot of ways, that's what baseball is. It is tactical, especially the All-Star game. It is tactical in the sense that the managers are trying to get everybody in and trying to do it at the right time. They don't end up doing it when they're Colon in there, for example, and a couple other names, just because you don't want to see guys get hurt or guys pitch recently, but they really want to participate, but they might not get it on the field action. It is tactical from that standpoint. It was a little bit boring. I could understand people saying that. But again, this was a good pitching matchup. If you really look at it, it had some good timely hits early on. You saw Hosmer ended up taking home the MVP. Salvi Perez taking one deep. So it was a really cool one, and you got to see other guys step up. Again, you don't really see a guy like Eric Hosmer win an MVP every day. You expect somebody like a Mike Trout to take it home. He had a good weekend as well. Some of the pitchers that were there did really well. Betances looked filthy, Steve. Andrew Miller struggled a little bit but looked filthy as well. So interesting, because this was almost an audition for a lot of these guys too, which takes us into what we're going to talk about for most of the show, which is a trade deadline. And the Yankees are expected to sell off some guys. Now, if I were them, I would trade, even if I'm in the hunt, I think I would end up getting Carlos Beltran. This year, I would look to see if I could trade a Brett Gardner, if anybody would be looking to take him. Ellsbury, obviously, I don't think anybody would take that contract unless you eat most of it. But then you have that back end of the bullpen, and Aroldis Chapman's a free agent at the end of the year. They gave up a decent amount of talent to get him, but it looks like he's going to be on the move now, and it looks like it's going to be to the Nationals for Joe Ross, and that's what the rumors are showing right now. The rumor mill is buzzing, obviously, crazy about this particular name, and the Nationals need a closer. They need somebody stable behind there. Drew Storen's not there. This whole year he wasn't there. They let him walk. And what happened with Papelbon, obviously. So if I'm the Yankees right now, Steve, if you're the Yankees right now, it looks like sell mode is the way to be, even if you're at 500 or somewhere close to the playoff hunt.
Yeah, I think Yankees are going to trade off a couple pieces. I don't think they're going to reshape their whole roster. I have a hard time believing that the Nationals are going to give up Joe Ross for a rental for 2 months. That if it was for Andrew Miller, I would say it's a different story because he's got some years left on his contract and he's controllable. Mm-hmm. But just in the industry, the way it works is unless you're extremely desperate, you're not going to give up a guy that's controllable in years for a guy that you're gonna rent for 2 months. it rarely happens. And I think the Yankees have a lot of irons in the fire, so to speak, with multiple teams, not only on Aroldis Chapman but on a few other players as well. And like any negotiation, as it comes down to the end, you try to get the best for your team and the best deal that you possibly can, and then you kind of move on from there, and you see what all these teams submit as the best and final offer.
Yeah, now you see the Indians obviously one of the best teams in baseball. That pitching staff's been amazing, but not enough has been said about that offense that's been missing. One of the best players in baseball, MVP a couple years back. The Indians have been fantastic. They've been rumored in a couple deals, including possibly getting Jay Bruce, who I think would be a nice addition power-wise, although does fit the mold in certain ways because they do have a couple strikeout guys like Mike Napoli and things. And even though Carlos Santana will draw 100 walks a year, he'll also give you 100 strikeouts a year. And he's broken out this year, and I think next year is probably going to be the best year for Carlos Santana throughout his career. I think he's getting better. I think he's figuring it out. Adding a guy like Jay Bruce, I think, would help them because Jay Bruce, up until a few weeks ago, was having the best year of his career. Batting average-wise, strikeouts were there, not to the degree they were in the past. It wasn't an embarrassing number like we've seen. But you see some other guys out there that can help out. Jonathan Lucroy, for example, has been rumored for a little bit. Melvin Upton Jr., has been rumored to get traded. He's having a really good year considering where he's been the last several. I don't know if the Indians will end up landing him, but it looks like Melvin Upton Jr. might end up going to the Orioles for Ubaldo Jimenez, which is just kind of a dumb trade. Indians are interesting here because they're already at the forefront of that division, and they have so much talent there already. They're calling some guys up. Tyler Naquin has been phenomenal for them. He just had a multi-home run game the other day. This is a team who's 5.5 games up on a Tigers team that does not look like they're comfortable with that lineup. There just doesn't seem to be a lot of continuity. There's been injuries. When they do get great pitching performances, they can't score. So it looks like this is the Indians' division to lose at this point.
Yeah, it'll be really interesting. I think you put yourself in a position, whether it's the Indians or any other team that's in first place, and you're always looking to upgrade your team when you have a hold on first place. You put yourself in a position by playing the first 3.5 months through the All-Star break, in the position to be buyers. And I think it would be silly for any team not in first place to add a piece here or add a piece there. Ultimately, as the rumors are being kicked around, the number one priority is to try to shore up the bullpen, and that's where, Chapman comes in and, a few other teams that have some pieces in the bullpen that may help the Indians and obviously may help the Nationals. The Nationals are looking for bullpen help. The Giants are looking for bullpen help. So all of these teams who are in the mix are going out there. They're trying to add the right piece, add the right continuity to the chemistry of the team and bring in good guys, bring in good players to put them over the top to help them continue on their way to trying to obtain a World Series.
Or at least get to the playoffs for some of these teams just to bring some excitement back. You see the Baltimore Orioles, who have had really a disastrous pitching performance all year. They have had injuries and stuff like that. They had some good performances from some of their guys. Let me see. Pull up their team real quick. That division is very tight. Again, we talked about the Yankees before. The only team that looks like they're not in some sort of contention here would be the Tampa Bay Rays, who really struggled even getting into the second half of the season. I think they lost something like 22 of 25 games, which was absolutely horrendous. I don't remember seeing that even in their worst days. But every other team here could potentially add pieces. See the Toronto Blue Jays, who've had inconsistent pitching all year. Stroman started off well. He's been tailing off. Ari Dickey gave up 6 runs, I think 5 innings the other night. Boston Red Sox added a couple pieces already. They did get Drew Pomeranz, who didn't have a great first start, but they're serious, obviously, the Red Sox. They're looking to make that push. They're a game and a half back. They're doing really well at home. This is Big Poppy's last year. You know they want to do something special, whether it was his last year or not. This is kind of the team that was built to win, especially after they signed David Price that massive contract. They gave Rick Porcello a big deal last year. He's been pretty good this year, really good. I think he's 12-2 or 12-3 at this point. So you have a couple buyers here. Do you see any making big Hall at this point. The Orioles have a great offense. They had a couple guys who haven't really played well all season, and Adam Jones and Chris Davis. But yeah, Mark Trumbo has been great. Who knows if he continues that the second half. But again, two very talented teams on offense, but pitching has been really most of their issue.
Yeah, I mean, ultimately, that's what it comes down to is pitching. They're both in the market for starters. Obviously, the Boston Red Sox got Drew Pomeranz already. They're looking to add a piece. Baltimore Orioles are looking to add a piece. Obviously, you brought it up a little bit earlier. You know, they may be willing to, you know, get another bat in Upton, but I would guess if that Upton trade may go through, they may add Cashner into that deal too and get, you know, add another prospect to Jimenez with two prospects to send those two guys over because they'd be taking on a lot of money. So,
yep.
You know, it's an interesting time of year. It front offices are busy. GMs are on the horn. They're making calls. They're trying to figure it out, and they're trying to do the best they can with the money that they have and that they're allowed to spend within each organization. And this is what makes baseball fun. This is what makes baseball interesting coming down the stretch and worrying about August and September. You know, these teams, they have one chance, you know, for this year, and they put themselves, like I said, in position to do it, and now they have to go for it.
Absolutely, and now with obviously the second wild card, it changes the whole dynamic of everything. And Baltimore Orioles, going back to them, their Cy Young pitcher outside of Chris Tillman, who's been fantastic this year, 14 wins so far, 108 strikeouts, 318 ERA. The rest of that team's been very spotty. They tried different guys in there. Dylan Bundy's finally back in the rotation after his Tommy John. Their prospect Harvey is going to be out, so we have two Harveys now going out with major shoulder issues. Matt Harvey of the Mets obviously going out for the rest of the year. And that's obviously a big loss, even though he hasn't been great. His attitude on the mound gets a lot of guys electrified. But then the prospect for the Baltimore Orioles, Harvey's also going to be out for the remainder of the season, will not be called up, obviously. But the Orioles present a good opportunity here for them to kind of break out of their mold, Steve. You mentioned that they might be taking on those contracts with Cashner and Upton. That's not really characteristic of them to do that. So you see a lot of teams go out of their comfort zone usually, try to make this push. And for the Orioles, who knows how much time they have with this core of guys, because they did sign Chris Davis, obviously a big contract. They have all these guys that are on the offensive side that are really, really good. You have Manny Machado. Eventually, you got to give him a major contract. You have Jonathan Scope, who's breaking out. He's doing well again this year. You have a lot of really good offensive talent, but not a lot of good pitching talent. But they do have to get rid of Ubaldo Jimenez, who's really been kind of really a failure, and I hate to use that word, but just not the guy that they thought he was going to be. They weren't expecting to be there. Certainly not a guy who was going to hover above the sixes during his time with the Orioles either. But then you have the Toronto Blue Jays in that division, Steve, who are willing to make big money moves like they did last year, bringing in Troy Tulowitzki and bringing in David Price, and goes to show you how important adding one piece can be. Because David Price really changed the dynamic of that ball club. He was their MVP the second half.
Yeah, I mean, one piece or two pieces can change definitely the dynamic of a ball club in a good way or a bad way. It just happened for Toronto that was in a good way and brought some excitement with David Price. And you know, you hope that's what, when you make a trade, is going to happen. You know, you don't expect if you make a trade that the guy's going to come over and not be as good as you expect him to be. Sometimes it takes a little bit of time for a guy to acclimate and get comfortable and within the city or within the lineup or within the team. But, you know, when you pick the right pieces to come in and get traded over, you know, it can make a big impact. And you know, I'll say this too. I'll say that the biggest thing with the Indians is their starting pitching. That's what all these other teams are going out looking for, and it's a little bit light on the market. I mean, I know Drew Pomeranz is having a good year, but to go out and get him and insert him in your starting rotation, for me, he's just a filler in that rotation. He's not a guy you can count on in the playoffs if you get there, and that's what you know, that is for. But the Indians, their starting pitching and their offense has been third in the American League. They're in a good spot, and it's going to be an interesting run.
Absolutely. So shifting back to the AL Central real quick. Again, the Cleveland Indians have a little bit of a good hold there, 5.5 up on the Tigers. Of course, we have seen team margins like that disappear very quickly. It could take about a week, especially if you're playing that team that week. And now is around the time you see a lot of divisional matchups. What's interesting, though, Steve, in that division, they're the only team that has a plus run differential. They have a plus 88 that really weren't supposed to be in that rotation, like Trevor Bauer, has been really good. Every other team in that division has a negative run differential, and one team that you wouldn't expect to be in that position would be the Tigers. Granted, it's a negative four on the run differential, but again, it's still a negative, and that's never good. They're under 500 on the road as well. The Tigers, the Indians are really good at home, 26-16, 30-24 on the road. So they're solid on both sides. And again, they're more built to win, I think. The Mike Napoli has been a great leader for them offensively. Carlos Santana, I mentioned before. plus some of the guys that they might end up adding to that team. Might see a reliever coming that way. Might see Jonathan Lucroy, whatever. This team is already built to win. There's a lot of pressure on the rest of that division. I've read some stuff about the Royals possibly selling guys. I don't really see that happening. They've been disastrous on the road at 17-32. Great at home, but again, you can't win like that. Their pitching has been dreadful. The White Sox, who at one time were leading the division, negative 27 run differential, falling apart here at the wrong time. Or maybe the right time, depending on how you look at it, because it gives the front office the look and what they need to do. They're 2-8 in their last 10 on the White Sox, and they have a lot of pieces there that they can move. I'm reading a lot of about Chris Sale, Jose Quintana, Dave Robertson, who's also been really bad this year. Seeing a lot of that, I just don't see Chris Sale going anywhere, although I've even seen the Braves link to Chris Sale. So you know the momentum is building, but it's also the craziness around it is building, the hype around it is building. I don't see them ever moving a Chris Sale when I don't really think they're that far from being a really good, solid team for a good time to come, but they do need to move some of their pieces. Well, what's your take there, Steve?
Yeah, you know, it just comes down to what the front office and what the owner and the team want to do. Do they want to go into rebuilding mode, and do they want to kind of set up their farm system and do what they need to do to move forward and take their lumps now, or do they think they're going to be really good for the next 2 or 3 years to come? You know, that's a question only each individual organization can ask themselves, because if it's the case where they're not going to be good for 3 years and Chris Sale has about 3 more years left on his contract, you would get a king's ransom for this guy right now with the availability that he's left on his contract, the controllable years. You would get 5 top major prospects for this guy at this very moment, at the peak of his value. So you tell yourself as an organization, is that worth us trading a guy now where we're not going to win this year, we're probably not going to win next year, but we want to build towards our future and see what happens. And if that's the case, they could sell off 2 or 3 of these guys and bring back 8 or 9 prospects that may be, you know, I wouldn't say big league ready, but at least possibly big league ready in a couple years. So, you know, I just think the White Sox have a big decision to make, and then, obviously the Royals do too. Do they have the opportunity to continue on this year and try to win, or do they sell off a piece or two? I'm not saying remake the whole roster for the Kansas City Royals, but they may try to unload a contract or two and see if they can get something in return for it.
So, I mean, it is going to take King's ransom to get a guy like Chris Sale for all the reasons you mentioned. What I've been saying for a long time, American League's version of Clayton Kershaw, not just because he's a lefty, but because he's dead dominant, strikes people out. He can go on tears of 7-8 straight games where he pitches 8 or 9 innings, a couple shutouts mixed in, so a couple complete games mixed in, 10-12 strikeouts on average on those games. This guy's a stud. I don't see him being moved. Again, it's going to take a king's ransom, especially since he's controllable for a few more years. Quintana, possibly Dave Robertson, if I were them, I would trade. Heck, I would even trade him for a guy who's a starter right now that they can convert into a closer. You mentioned Andrew Cashner before. I see him as being a closer, more than he is a starter at this point. There's a lot of guys that fall into that category that can pitch one or two really good innings, and they can do something like what guys like Andrew Miller, Betances, and even the Roldis Chapman degree, pitch a lot of games, even in non-safe situations, dominate, and that's it. Go on and get your $15, $20 million a year, which there will be eventually for closers, great closers, will eventually be that kind of contract, but remains to be seen. The Royals obviously interesting with that back end with guys they have like Herrera. I don't see them moving away Davis, but again, there have been rumblings about them possibly selling off some pieces. I think that would be a little bit of a mistake right now because their guys are so young and they've been ravaged by injuries, inconsistency. Look at Moustakas, Alex Gordon coming back, not feeling himself right now. Doesn't look great so far this year when he has played. You have Lorenzo Cain still in the DL from last time I checked. So again, this is a team that's been ravaged by injuries. Hard to make a decision on who you are when you don't really have your talent on the field. In the West, you have the Texas Rangers now 2.5 up on the Astros, Steve. And we saw this last year the other way, where we saw the Astros leading, and then the Texas Rangers came in and just sort of crushed this season. And getting a guy like Cole Hamels, who's been leading them this year. I have so much talent there. There's been rumors about them possibly moving either Joey Gallo or Jerickson Profar, who obviously can hit. It was a mega prospect for him. Can play a lot of different positions too. If you're a fantasy guy, he has at least 3 position eligibility right now, so he can play all those. Plays them pretty well. He can hit, especially with that ballpark. He can hit. And I think the Rangers are in a really good spot now, even though they've given up some of that lead. They've been struggling their last 10, winning only 2 of that last 10. Their run differential is not strong. But, again, this is a team that has a ton of talent there, especially offensively. But they do need to add some pitching pieces here if they want to continue to move forward.
Yeah, we see this a little bit different. I don't think they're in a good spot at all. I think they're in trouble.
You tell.
And I think the Astros – are going to surpass these guys and probably beat them by 5 or 6 games in the division by season's end. They're
even
pitching
the Mariners.
No, I'm talking Texas Rangers.
No, I know, but do you think the Mariners factor in and they surpass the Texas Rangers and drop them to 3rd in the division? Because the Mariners have been doing pretty well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's very possible. I mean, King Felix is coming back, and he's getting back into the rotation. I just see Texas's pitching staff as being so diminished right now. You got 3 of their starters, hurt. You don't know what Yu Darvish is going to give you. Their bullpen is a mess. They don't know who their closer is. They're mixing and matching guys in that pen. They got a lot of good arms, but they're just in disarray right now. And I continue to see this spiraling downward and going downhill for them. I have a hard time seeing these guys putting together that consistent run like the Astros are going to be able to do as we come down the stretch. And I think actually the Astros may add a piece or two. If Prince Fielder's out with Texas and he ends up having neck surgery. That puts a big dent in the middle of their lineup, even though Ian Desmond's having a tremendous year. But, again, it'll be curious to see how this plays out down the stretch. But in my opinion, I think the Astros are going to kind of, surpass and vault themselves in the first place here very shortly and continue to play consistent baseball.
Yeah, I like the Astros. I like what they're doing here. Remember, they still have some of the guys that they traded for last year at this time. Guys like Mike Fiers, Carlos Gomez, who hasn't really been that good for them, Carlos Gomez, since they got him. But, again, they do have some other pieces on that team. Now, remember, the Astros don't have Chris Carter this year. Evan Gattis has been kind of non-existent this year. But Jose Altuve is there looking like an MVP candidate. I think if they make them the playoffs, the Astros, I think Jose Altuve gets a lot of looks and a lot of votes for that spot, for the MVP spot. If you look at it, yeah, they have some good talent in George Springer and some of the other guys that are on that team, but he's got to have another 200-hit season. He's MVP caliber. But that team is interesting because if you ask somebody outside of them, Dallas Keuchel hasn't really been that all that great this year. He's coming around. Lance McCullers had a great game the other night. Colin McHugh has been starting to do better. Remember, he won 19 games last year. He's nowhere near that this year. So the Astros do have a lot of talent there. It's a matter of them playing And you're right in that Prince Fielder's looks like, well, he's on the back on the DL. Looks like he'll be out the rest of the year anyway. He hasn't been that good for them. But the Rangers also have Sin Soo Chu, who's on the DL, I believe, a third time this year for a back injury now. So you got a lot there. The Mariners might add a couple pieces there. Remember, they have a great offensive weaponry there. And they also have really solid pitching there. They did just trade Mike Montgomery, which I think was a little bit of a mistake there. Trade him over to the Cubs, but I think the top three in this division is they're going to battle it out the rest of the year. It's going to be really fun. Again, the run differential, only a plus +3 for the Rangers. They're playing with the last 10. For the Astros, it's plus +49, which amazing because that, again, that offense has been maligned this year and that pitching has been maligned most of the year. And the Mariners are plus +48, being led by the likes of Nelson Cruz. Adam Lind starting to come around a bit, obviously Robbie Cano, so really solid offense there. And then you have the A's and the Angels. Angels look like they're going to be sellers, at least a little bit. I don't see Mike Trout going anywhere, but might see a guy like Santiago going somewhere, maybe a couple of the pieces being moved. Houston Street, who struggled, but maybe with the right team and a low ball offer, they might accept it.
Yeah, you know, that's a good point. I definitely do see the Angels being sellers. They've gone through a tough year this year. Mike Socha, you know, always want to be competitive, and you know, it just hasn't happened for him with all the injuries that they've had, especially to their pitching staff. They continually to have some guys there that have Tommy John surgery, and they have to kind of continuously try to replace them. And it's tough to do at the big league level when you have consistent pitching like the Angels had not. It makes for a long year. Even though their offense has been pretty good, their pitching hasn't been able to keep them in games. So I agree with you. I see them as sellers, and I see them trying to get some pieces back to help them in the future and rebuild a little bit.
Absolutely. So now, as our time starts to wane, we have the National League, which we do need more time to discuss, and we will in future shows, but let's do that real quick. The Nationals, again, rumored to be in the hunt for Aroldis Chapman. Again, it's going to take a good amount of players to get them, but if I'm the Yankees, even if I'm in the hunt, I trade him. I would not trade Betances, and I would not trade Andrew Miller because of the reason you outlined before. There's the contracts, and there's obviously the youth aspect to Betances, and he's filthy to begin with. But again, I would move Aroldis Chapman because you still have the chance to re-sign at the end of the year, which is a possibility for the Yankees because they have the money to do so. The Nationals have been rumored with some other players as well. There's been tweets by Ken Rosenthal about the Nationals being, again, the lead for Chapman. But there's other closers. Mentioned Houston Street, who would probably be a low-priced candidate for them. There's some other guys around the league as well. It's a shame Fernando Rodney went so early because he actually would have been a great fit for the Nationals. Somebody that's been great all season ends up going to the Marlins. Now, get this, Steve. Are the Marlins going to be big-time buyers here? Because they've been really good, winning 7 of their last 10, 53-44 now, only 4.5 back in the Nationals. We've seen the Nationals collapse in the past. The Nationals do have a great run differential this year, plus +113. The Mets are struggling. Jacob deGrom got lit up last night. Matt Harvey's out. You have injury concerns with the rest of the team. You have scares here and there with Cespedes here and there. You have Syndergaard. You have Mats here and there. Bartolo Colon's been really good, really consistent for them. Lucas Duda is just obviously, I believe, he's still injured. This team that's without Daniel Murphy, who was a catalyst for them on offense, at the consistent 300 hitter, and did get some good big hits for him. They don't have that this year. They don't have that electricity that they had towards the middle end of last year because they made that run. What are the Mets going to do, in your opinion? Do they go out and do something huge and do a big splash, or do they wait to have a full core and hopefully have a full slate next year?
Yeah, I don't see the Mets doing much, to be honest with you. I think they're going to stand pat, and they're going to do what they're going to need to do. I don't think there's that one big difference maker that's going to put them over the top, especially with their pitching staff being so decimated, as you said, with Harvey, Syndergaard and Mats. You're not sure with the elbow thing, if they have bone chips or bone spurs. Are they going to last throughout the year? Are they going to be as effective as they were last year? But I do see the Marlins, on the other hand, going out and getting a few pieces. I think the Marlins are going to use this as, or try to use this as a stepping stone to move forward and give it a shot, at least to get into the playoffs. Will they have enough to get to the World Series? You know, with the rotation that they got. I mean, obviously they have Fernandez at the top of the rotation, but you know, Wei Chen and then further down that rotation. I think it's a little light. They're competitive, no question about it, but are they a playoff-worthy rotation that can string together, you know, 11 wins to win a World Series? I'm not quite sure about that, but I think they're going to go out and they're going to get pieces, and I think they're going to give themselves an opportunity to either win the division or try to win one of the two wild cards.
Mm-hmm. The Marlins, again, Giancarlo Stanton, I've actually been one of their – not being their star hitter this year, only hitting .241, did have a good game last night, going 4-for-5. Looks to finally be breaking out of that that post All-Star game funk that he's been on. Hit his first home run since then, had 3 RBIs last night. Great for my fantasy team because I've been waiting for him to break out. But they won 7-2. Steven Matz taking a loss. Matz goes today. Matz losing his last 5 decisions after that amazing start that he was on. Still solid numbers on the season, but again, you got to be concerned if you're the Mets. If you're a Mets fan, obviously, as well, you got to be really concerned there. There's just too many question marks there. They're now at 500 on the road, and they're struggling a lot right now, and I just don't see the Mets making a big move because I don't think they have the stomach for it right now. They Zach Wheeler would be the only guy, but it seems like anybody that you take on that would be willing to trade if you're in a Mets front office, the team on the other side is going to be concerned about injury issues and risk. And one of the guys that they traded, which is Michael Fulmer, they traded him last year in the Cespedes trade. Who would have thought? He's been one of the best pitchers in baseball the last couple of months. Mike Fulmer has been something spectacular. Obviously, the Tigers not making the most of that right now since they're struggling a bit. But well, what do you say if you're the Mets at this point? Mike Fulmer, 9-10, .241 ERA, part of that trade. Did work for the last year. They end up this year. The rest of that division looks more to be adding if you're the Phillies. The Braves, again, rumored in the Chris Sale trade. I have no idea why that would ever happen at this point, even though they need someone there. But I do see them possibly moving Julio Teheran and maybe one or two of their bullpen guys. What's your quick take on that one, Steve, the Braves?
Yeah, I'm not sure, to be honest with you. I mean, you know, they would want him for the next 3 years because they're opening that stadium. But
yep.
I think that, you know, again, if that's the case, the Braves do have some guys and some pieces. Could be Julio Teheran, who's under team control for a while. You know, you have Vince Arte, you have Dansby Swanson. And I'm sure that they have a few other guys in their farm system that they could take away from and maybe add another guy, another big league guy. Who's to say that it wouldn't be Teheran and another big league guy plus 3 prospects, high-level prospects for Chris Sale to put this team together. And I wouldn't put anything past John Hart to ask for something like that or to give away something like that for a Chris Sale and a major piece if he has a plan in place.
Mm-hmm. That's kind of what they've been building towards, and so far a lot of their trades have worked out, getting rid of Justin Upton beginning of last year, obviously with the Craig Kimbrel trade and a bunch of other trades that they've made, and obviously packaging Melvin Upton Jr., Cameron Maybin. There's a lot of guys that have been on their team that have passed through the Braves that John Hart's been either thrown away in the case of Melvin Upton and got someone to take on that contract, or they've traded really been successful, which is the Shelby Miller trade, and even the Jason Hayward trade, getting Shelby Miller worked out beautifully for them. Going towards the NL Central, the Chicago Cubs still holding pat there, still solid, 149 run differential, have been scuffling a bit from that searing start that they had in the beginning of the season, but you're hearing footsteps right now. The Cardinals 6.5 back there. Cardinals under 500 at home in one of the best baseball cities in the country, one of the best fan cities in the country. And they've been struggling there, which is really surprising. Really good on the road, though, 11 games over 500 there, which is a great sign for them. plus 98 run differential. You have the Pirates that are starting to look a little bit better there, getting a little bit healthier. Liriano starting to look a little more like himself, even though his ERA is close to 5. You got to look at his most recent starts, and he was great in his last start. So there's some footsteps there. The rest of the teams are sellers. You have the Cincinnati Reds at the bottom in the cellar there. I think they're tied for the Braves are the worst team in baseball. But after that, you have a 37-win team in the hold on one second. 37-win team in the Minnesota Twins, and then a couple 38s at the Tampa Bay Rays. To last one out to turn the lights off really for the season for them. But the Brewers and the Reds I see as sellers. I see the Cardinals as big time buyers. Mike Leake got rocked again last night. I actually see the Cubs as adding another piece there. And the NL West, actually, Steve, I see the Giants as adding another piece there. And the Dodgers really have to make a big splash here after you might not see Clayton Kershaw for a while, maybe the rest of the season. It might require back surgery there. So I think the front runners there, the top three in the NL Central and the top two in the NL West are going to be big-time buyers, not just adding a small piece here and there. I think they're going to add big.
Yeah, I agree with you. I see Tampa Bay selling off two or three of their starters and getting guys in return. I see Chris Archer going. I see Matt Moore going, and maybe one of their other guys if they can get the right guys back for them, especially in the position that they're in. So there's guys to be had out there. It just depends what guys certain teams want and if they're available.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, by the way, one of the other closers that you might end up seeing getting moved after you just saw Brad Ziegler going over to the Red Sox, who I think is a good move for the Red Sox, is the guy who's filling in for him, which is Tyler Clippard. And they have some guys that are looking to step in after Clippard. He gave 3 runs in his last start there. But they have guys like Jake Barrett waiting in the wings and Daniel Hudson, who's been resurgent in the bullpen after being a pretty successful starter prior to getting hurt and having, I think, multiple Tommy Johns. Struggling a bit now is Daniel Hudson, but he's a guy who could be in line for some save opportunities down the road. But the Diamondbacks, I would watch for them after the horrendous season that they've had, ravaged by injuries. We both loved what we saw out of them, but they have guys like Shelby Miller, who's been a disaster this year. Zach Greinke on the DL might not see him the rest of the year. They're not going to move him, obviously. But then next year you have some guys coming back like A.J. Pollock, who you might see this year. David Peralta has barely been on the field, so I see the Diamondbacks as possibly moving a couple of bullpen guys. You don't really know on that side, but I do see them moving a Tyler Clippard. Again, we'll be talking more about this, and that wraps up a quick, almost Reader's Digest version of the MLB trade rumors at this point. Again, by the time we do the show next, we might see a completely different dynamic in baseball. Changes all the time. But I agree with you what you said about Tampa Bay moving a couple of their guys, probably Matt Moore, who's been getting better. Better unload him while he's looking better after his injuries than to keep him if I'm the Tampa Rays. But again, that wraps up this week's show. Let's move into our last licks. And Steve, you want to lead it off this week?
Yeah, I'm just going to talk a little bit about the Hall of Fame. We touched on it a little bit earlier. You know, I just want to send congratulations out to Ken Griffey Jr. and Mike Piazza. Tremendous guys, tremendous careers, longevity of their careers and what they've done. It's a huge honor, and it's a huge day for baseball. When you can you know, play against a couple of these guys, and then you watch them throughout their careers as you play against them and do certain things and respect what they do day in and day out. Again, like I said earlier in the show, you know, staying healthy is hard to do in baseball these days and past days. You know, it's a grind. It's 162 days. These guys have to get themselves ready. They got to take care of their bodies. They got to prepare themselves on a daily basis to go out there and perform, and to perform at the highest level. And when you can do that over a 10-year span or a 15-year span, and you get to the end of your career and you see what you've done and see where you're at, and then you get that call on the phone to go to Cooperstown and receive the highest honor in baseball of being inducted to the Hall of Fame. It's a huge honor. Congratulations to both of those guys, and that's my last leg.
Absolutely. Great last leg there. Two of the greatest talents in baseball. Two of the most loved guys in baseball, even though there were certain times it was a little rocky. He's not a role model. You know, you have to kind of – you have to parent your own kids. You have to do this and that. You know, he never really wanted to take that mantle because he never felt it was reasonable and responsible for people to put that on the shoulders. But nevertheless, athletes, people on TV are role models for better or for worse. Some people pick the wrong role models. I'd rather have a Ken Griffey as my role model than most of the people we have on TV today. But again, these are two of the greatest talents in baseball history. A great day for baseball, a great day for sports, seeing two really great guys getting inducted and immortalized. My last lick is going to be about Alex Rodriguez, and then a quick shout out for somebody on the Colorado Rockies. There's some stories that the Yankees might end up cutting Alex Rodriguez, even with that big salary. I don't know if anybody will take him on with all the baggage that's come along with him over the years, and his age and injuries and all that. But if I'm the Yankees, I don't want to see Alex Rodriguez get anywhere near. He's put that franchise through, what he's put the fans through, what he's put baseball through really over the last decade, after being one of the best and most exciting players to watch, a former 40-40 guy, MVP, a guy who's had 50-plus home runs in a season multiple times, had some big hits despite the stigma of not being a big game player, especially the 2009 run, especially against the Twins. This is a guy who's obviously had a big fall from grace, much of his own doing. And if I see the Yankees cut him, I will not bat an eyelash there. I think that would actually be a good move for them, even though they'd have to be on the hook for that contract. As my dad's been saying for years, he's the most expensive windmill in baseball, and he's really living up to that that name, that label. But again, the Yankees might end up cutting Alex Rodriguez for a whole slew of different reasons. And my shout-out is for Trevor Story, 23-year-old shortstop, not getting the love that he deserves because everyone thinks that he was a fluke. Now, again, hitting 272, 26 home runs, leading the National League in home runs, 67 RBIs. I can't see what this kid does. Amazing. I call him a kid. He looks more like a man than I do, and I'm much older than him by about 6 or 7 years. But he's having a phenomenal season on a team that where not much is expected. He wasn't even supposed to be there this year. Wasn't even supposed to play. It was supposed to be Jose Reyes' job after them trading Tulowitzki. He steps in after both of those guys, both of those former All-Stars, get out of the way, and he comes in and has one of the best years that you could ever see from a guy, especially in his first major season. Trevor Story, again, a great story, pardon the pun, but leading the National League in homers right now, creeping back towards hitting 300 and proving a lot of people wrong. His debut was earlier this year, April 4th. He's done everything that he could do. Now it's time to give the guy some love, give him a pat on the back for having an improbable season, and we hope that he continues that because it is a great situation for baseball to see a guy who shouldn't be there and crush it. So again, my shout out was for Trevor Story. And Steve, we also have the Olympics right around the corner, by the way.
We do.
I don't know how much we're going to talk.
There's been a lot of controversy with the Olympics and how it's going to be handled in Rio and what's going on with the Zika virus. But, you know, these athletes have been training for 4 years. It's their time. I think it's going to go over fairly well. I don't think there's going to be a huge issue. A lot of people are making more issues. There's a lot of athletes who are backing out because they're a little bit apprehensive about going down there. But in the overall scheme of things, I think the Olympics is going to be a great time. I think the athletes are going down there. They're going to compete well. And, it'll go off without a hitch, and we will see the best athletes stand on that podium, listen to that national anthem, and win the gold medal.
Absolutely, and there's obviously not without controversy always the Olympics. The Olympic Committee usually brings that on, but Rio is the place that they chose at, instead of Chicago, which is what Obama voted for a year ago. And they had a whole slew of issues as a result, body parts and all the stuff washing ashore. And you have obviously the Zika virus and a whole bunch of other economical issues and environmental issues. So hopefully it goes off without a hitch, and hopefully there's less controversy once the games start, because you hate to see it marred by the wrong thing. should be we should be celebrating the greatest talents around the world. Instead, we're talking about this, unfortunately. But hopefully, once the game start, once the game start and get in full swing, it'll be much better. So that wraps up this week's show. Thank you all for listening and tuning in, and catch us next time. Stay tuned to CarsayandTheKid.com for more details on the show and our upcoming guest. Thanks again.
Thank you. Have a great rest of the weekend.
Okay. Thanks all.